Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today I wanted to talk about something that kind of first came to mind when I saw the Kenneth Branagh remake of Murder on the Orient Express. And there was one line in the movie that really stood out for me, where Hercule Poirot, the great Belgian detective, was being asked, "How is it that you always know what questions to ask and where to go? And where to go to find clues?" And Poirot says, "I can only see a world as it should be. It makes an imperfection stick out like the nose on your face, which makes me a great detective, but a very unhappy human being." And I remember seeing that and thinking, A, that it was a great line, but B, it's similar to what I think makes a great coach great, is when I think of the best sessions I have done as a coach, the best sessions I've experienced as a client, the best sessions I've witnessed as a student, inevitably, the coach is sort of pulling at threads that I can't even see are loose. But then when they pull on them, somebody's whole stuck reality begins to unravel. Their whole problem reality begins to unravel, and new possibilities in a new world open up to them. And it's the same thing when I thought about it, is when you see the world as it is, it makes somebody's illusion, somebody's thought-created variant on reality, stick out like the nose on your face, which will make you a great coach, and it can also make you a very happy human being, which is where it's a little bit different than Hercule Poirot. So what do I mean by seeing the world as it is? Well, how the world works is almost 180 degrees from how we're brought up to believe the world works. We're brought up to believe that situations and people can make us happy or sad and angry or fearful and loving or unloving. But actually, the world works from the inside to out. Our experience of life is a projection of thought made real by the screen of our consciousness, by the special effects department in our mind, so that we experience it through the senses, and then guided by this intelligence, this underlying order, this implicate order to the universe. And so when people talk about things that are out of line with that, it jumps out at me. Because I know, well, that's how the world works, so what they're describing can't be right. And I've just learned to question it. And that questioning incongruity, that's what begins to show the threads that you can pull on that begin to unravel and transform. And I'll give you a couple examples. The first time I really saw it was very early in my study of the Inside Out Understanding, and I'd brought in George Pransky, who to this day is a dear friend and mentor, and he was doing a session in front of the room with a guy who had writer's block. And I was very interested in this because I'm a writer, and from time to time I get blocked. I don't know what to say. So I was kind of hoping that I'd get something from watching the session beyond the coaching value. Well, George genuinely seemed puzzled by what this writer's problem was. So the writer kept saying, "Well, I just can't seem to write." And George was like, "Well, do you have a problem with your hands?" And the guy was like, "No, I don't have a problem with my hands, but I when I sit down at the computer, just kind of nothing comes out." And George goes, "Well, you know, do you not have any thoughts?" And the guy said, "Well, no, I have thoughts, but they don't make sense. Like, there's nothing there worth writing." And so George is listening, and you can tell that he's trying to understand. And I'm watching, and I'm going, what does George not understand about this? And to the point where I'm about to interrupt the demo to explain to George what writer's block is and how it works. Now, fortunately, I knew enough not to actually do that. But I was watching this session just baffled at why George was baffled. And finally, the writer in frustration said, "I haven't written more than one chapter in 7 years." And we're all laughing, watching. And George still looks baffled. He still looks puzzled. And he says to the guy, What makes you think that's anything more than you're being terrible at predicting how long something should take? Now, I think every one of us in the room had an epiphany in that moment. I'm not saying we all saw the same thing, but we were all so sure we knew what was going on that it took somebody who didn't see the world the way we did, who saw the world as it is, not as it appears, in order to kind of spot the obvious, which was there's no set amount of time that it should take to write anything. But when we tell ourselves we should be able to write every time we sit down, or it should take no longer than this amount of time to write something, we turn reality into a problem. Now, George didn't have to know anything about writing. As it happens, I know he's written books, so he does know something about writing. But all he had to know in order to pull on that thread was that something was off about the way this writer was understanding his reality, was understanding his world. Now, I'll give you a different example, a flip of it. Early in my career, I was looking for coaches, and I was very impressed by the work of Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote The Four Agreements. And he wasn't available for one-on-ones, but I found one of his apprentices who did do one-on-one work, and I reached out to them, and I told them what I was working on. And one of the things that I mentioned that I was working on was that I really wanted to get to a point where I didn't have to work for money, where my money did the work and I could just do my work. And, you know, we would live parallel lives, but separately. And I remember the apprentice said to me, kind of laughed and said, yeah, that'd be nice, as if it was the most ridiculous thing that anyone had ever said. And I thought, huh, well, if the world looks as stuck to you as it does to me, you can't help me. So that apprentice happened to be stuck in the same thought-created illusion as I was. So they didn't see the thread waiting there to be pulled. Give you a third example, one I've shared before. But I worked a number of years ago, almost 10 years ago now, with a coach named Steve Hardison. And I wrote an article once called How Steve Hardison's Eyebrow Made Me $1 Million. Because I was going through a goal list on my very first session with him, and he's a very expensive, high-end coach. And so I'd spent more money than I'd ever spent on coaching with him, and I really wanted it to work, so I had my long goal list. And I got to one of the goals on the list, which was for my business to make $1 million. And I kind of stopped when I got to it and was embarrassed by it. And he saw that, and he said, what? And I said, well, I've got this thing on my list about making $1 million in the business. And you know, I've had that on my list for probably 10 years, and it's kind of like learn Italian. It's just a habitual goal. There's no point. So I'm going to just ignore that one. And he raised his eyebrow. And in that raised eyebrow, I saw that it didn't look to him like it was impossible or ridiculous. It just looked to him like, wow, you don't think you can do that? How weird. Now, I asked Steve months later, because that turned out to be my first $1 million year in the business, if he remembered doing that, if there was anything deliberate about it. And there absolutely wasn't. He had no memory of it at all. It's just that he was seeing the world as it is, not as I was making it up to be. And I was making up a world where that was a very difficult, impossible thing. And he just wasn't making that world up, so it didn't look impossible or difficult to him, which made him a great coach. And from everything I can tell, a pretty happy human being too. So how does this apply to you? Well, if you're a coach, it applies to you in that the best thing you can do for your coaching is to get more grounded in reality, to get more grounded in how the world actually works, how the mind actually works for all people all the time, and less into any particular theory of behavior or theory of motivation or theory that encompasses some things, but always has exceptions, always has counterexamples. When you find solid ground, and solid ground is simply the world as it actually is, not as we make it up to be, not as it appears to be, then you'll notice those threads coming out of your client's stories, as they'll stick out like the nose on your face. Now, if you're not a coach and you're kind of wondering, well, how is this relevant for me? Then there's kind of a simple question, which is, given that we're making up our experience of reality, right? We're creating it out of thought, out of this raw material of pure possibility. What are you making up that isn't very helpful? And it's not up to you to make something else different. When you start to see, is this true? Is this really difficult? Is this really stressful? Is this really where I'm feeling all this pressure from? Or is that just a creation of my own imagination? Is that just the feeling of my thinking in this moment? Then those threads will start to unravel, and you'll find yourself more and more available to life as it is, to the pure creative potential of mind as it is. And that openness will allow you to be filled up not only with feelings of presence and well-being, but with creative ideas, new possibilities. And it's difficult to explain if you haven't experienced it, but just the colors get brighter. You're walking in the same world, but it looks completely different because you're seeing it more as it is, less as it appears to be. And anything that's incongruous with that will stick out like the nose on your face. Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.